We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football Podcasts are presented by Yahoo Sports Daily Fantasy. Be sure to check out Yahoo this Sunday for another $1 million baller contest for Week 17. This is a $20 entry, 10 entry max tournament, and once again, Yahoo is guaranteeing a $250,000 in overlay for this contest. It's the best value in all of DFS, so be sure to check them out this Sunday and use promo code GRINDERS30 for a $30 matching bonus on that first deposit. If you are playing DFS this week 17, give them a look. That's Yahoo Sports Daily Fantasy.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Week 17 final edition of the 2018 NFL season of the Pro Football Focus Show here on Roto Grinders. Guys, we made it. Scott, Tyler, we're feeling a little better than last week, too. I'm still a little sick. It's been like almost 9 days I've been sick with this cold. I'm coming out of it on the good end. Scott, it's been a fun season. I know we were a little sick last week. How are you feeling this week?
Yeah, feeling a little bit better. Excited. I like week 17. It's sort of like preseason DFS, where you get paid or rewarded handsomely for doing a little bit of extra research. Mm-hmm. So excited.
Yeah, looking a little better too, Scott, with you got your friend going on today.
That's right. No more Grizzly Adams, Zarathustra descending from the cave.
We were joking pre-show that Scott, Pro Football Focus and Chris Collinsworth, they force you to like sit inside for 100 hours a week, no sunlight, typing away, looking at statistics. Scott, are you going to be able to go outside in a couple of weeks? Are your eyes going to be okay with this?
Yeah, finally rejoining society. I'll have to wear sunglasses for the first few weeks, but yeah, I'll get to leave my room finally.
Yeah, Tyler, you're not secluded as much as Scott. They like to keep Scott in his little room, feed him through a little slot in the door. You're allowed to go into society. How's Tyler doing today?
Yeah, they give me a little bit more freedom, which is kind of nice. I'm excited. It's week 17, finally seeing the final end stretch of this year. I'm relaxed. I'm wearing my kimono. I'm ready to rock and roll, man.
You're forced to wear the kimono because nothing else fits us after Christmas, right?
Yeah, too many Christmas cookies. Yep.
What's your favorite Christmas cookie, by the way? It's hard for me to pick a favorite, but what do you got?
Yeah, I've had so many over the past few days. I don't even know. They're all a blur. It's just sugar. It's just too much sugar.
God, do you even know what a Christmas cookie is?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I really like the gerbil pellets, though, so... That's what I get to eat.
I like the one with the Hershey Kiss in the middle, the peanut butter cookie with a Hershey Kiss in the middle. It's a classic. That's always one of my favorites. It's been a long season. Scott, what did we learn from DFS this year? What did we learn about football? What do we apply? Like, what are some like overarching things we learned about DFS this year? I saw you had your like 2019 rankings already out there. I know draft will probably have some best balls soon, so I'm always itching to waste a whole bunch of money doing that and not getting money back at the end of the year like this year. But where do you see the NFL going next year? How can we apply what we saw this year?
I think two of the biggest takeaways are, you know, the importance of a bell cow running back for fantasy football. Easily the most upside, the most predictable point totals, most consistent on a week-to-week basis, highest floor and ceiling. Just so valuable, so much more valuable than, you know, even the elite wide receivers. This is guys like Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, James Conner, et cetera. And then also positional utility. So like Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, among wide receivers, they're basically mid-range wide receiver ones. But then if you, you know, look at where they stack up against all tight ends, their value just increases exponentially. And I'm not sure that Travis Kelce isn't a better first round draft pick next year than even DeAndre Hopkins or Davante Adams. So I think that's going to be a big debate. Patrick Mahomes just put together the greatest fantasy football season ever by a quarterback. So he deserves a ton of credit for that as well. So I think those are three of the biggest takeaways from fantasy season 2018.
Yeah, Tyler, where do you see, you know, next year going in DFS or maybe even in football too? You know, you'd have to envision. I mean, I've seen some of these coaches that the Packers are they're interviewing. Hopefully they don't get hired in terms of, you know, advancing football forward. The pass is more prevalent than ever. Where do you see the NFL going? Where do you see fantasy going for us for next year?
Well, I think we're going to see a lot of retreads because that's the way the NFL is.
It's a who you know league for sure at the coaching level.
100%. And it's very cyclical seeing them repeat in just different jerseys. That being said, Scott hit a lot of the three major points I wanted to talk about as far as what to expect for DFS moving forward. Those bell cow backs are a priority. 2016 was the year of Team Jamaman. 2019, we could see 6 to 7 of these guys regularly priced up at the top, where we need to actually do some research on which of those 7 are the guys we want to play.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Well, we got to talk week 17. We got another week of the regular season. The key, I guess, Scott, the key to week 17 DFS, you said like preseason, you don't have to do as much research, I think, as preseason, because you really got to dig into preseason. One of the keys is playing the guys that have something to play for, and then making sure you're not playing guys that are going to get, you know, could possibly get pulled after a quarter or might only see the second half or something like that. So we'll try to help you out with some of the plays that we got here today. We'll start at quarterback. Scott, I'll start with you on this one. You know, we know Patrick Mahomes, you just mentioned him. He's 7,100 on DraftKings. We have him projected as by far the highest owned wide receiver. We're pushing 17.5, 20%. All the ownerships this week are going to get congested because there's just fewer plays out there. Even though there's more teams playing, we've got 15 on the main slate. There's just fewer actual good plays that you can make this week. There are going to be, as the week progresses, right, we record this on Wednesday night. By the time Sunday morning rolls around, we'll have a much better of idea of which teams are going to tank, which teams are going to play, which $3,000 running back is going to get all the carries. We don't know all this stuff right now. We can guess, but there's usually a lot of value that's going to allow us to pay up for a guy like Mahomes. He's at home. They got to win. It's against Oakland, who's actually playing pretty well right now somehow. And you know Oakland would love to foil anything they can do with KC, so you got to think the Oakland guys are going to try. Mahomes looks poised to kind of put up a massive game here.
Yeah, I think Kansas City wants that number one seed, and they need to win in order to get it. Oakland really, they would be like the top defense to stream against if, you know, their offense kept things close. Easily rank worst in fantasy points allowed per dropback. They rank third worst in opposing passer rating. So, you know, Chiefs want to win this. It makes sense if they, you know, first of all, they don't really ever take their foot off the gas anyway, especially not with their running back situation. Even when leading by 10 or more points, they're still one of the most pass-heavy teams in the league. So it makes sense to pay up for Mahomes this week, although I do also like Ben Roethlisberger. Tyler might like him even more, so you can pivot over to him if you want.
Yeah, there's a $100 difference. Mahomes or Ben Roethlisberger, I don't think there's a a wrong answer here, Tyler. They're both at home. They both need to win. They're both huge favorites. Very tough to figure out which one of these is the correct play this week. I think this could be something a lot of people are going to be struggling with again. I don't know if there's a wrong play, but is there a more correct play?
Yeah, it's tough to decide right now at this point. Like you said, both teams need to win. I just see the Raiders as a team where the Chiefs could roll on them. And like before halftime, the Chiefs are already starting to pull some of their really important players. The Steelers need to get a win in just to get that sixth seed. So they're fighting for the entire game, I think. The Bengals secondary, I'm not worried about that whatsoever with Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. According to our points allowed matchup chart, they've been beaten by opposing receivers attacking them from the left, right, and slot. These both Brown and Juju line up all over the formation, should be able to dominate no matter which defender they're lined up against. Bengals, as a unit, they've allowed the fifth most passing yards, second most passing touchdowns on the year. Big Ben should just go absolutely crazy in this one, I think. He's coming off the heels of a 33-point fantasy outing against New Orleans on the road. Now he's playing at home in Heinz Field. Really like him here.
Quick question. In a dynasty league I was in, I traded it. This was a couple weeks ago. I needed to get younger, and I just needed more players. I traded Antonio Brown for Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones, and Greg Olsen. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Did I do all right? This is like it's a 14-team league with like 40 people rosters with some really smart people.
I don't know about Greg Olsen, man.
No, all right. We'll save the cheese log stuff for
You're trending in the right direction until I went to Greg Olsen.
I needed a tight end and I was trying to make a run. All right. We're going to scratch that last minute from the segment here. We're going to pretend that didn't exist here. This is Wednesday. I don't have an early lean between Mahomes or Roethlisberger. I think it should be pretty easy to get to one of those on your cash teams and in tournaments, should you want to use them. An early week look, 30 to 35% of your opponents will also have them, which means those two offenses will also be extremely heavily owned. So just know that when Sunday comes around, if you're using those guys, you're going with the herd, not necessarily a bad thing, but know what you're getting into. You're not going to get all those points to yourself when that comes around. So Scott, let's say we want to differentiate a little, right? We're looking for a couple other guys that might have you've got on the sheet here, you've got a Matt Ryan, an Aaron Rodgers, a Jameis Winston. None of these dudes have anything to play for, right? So that's going to lower their ownership, come Sunday. I haven't heard any rumblings that any of these teams are really, going to sit anybody. We saw the Packers last week. Aaron Rodgers, hard to lead from the sideline, goes out, puts a massive game up, and really helps you out in fantasy. Matt Ryan, he's got, we don't know if Julio Jones is going to suit up. He might sit. Tevin Coleman might sit. Maybe it's a couple of like no-name guys out there. So maybe I'm not as interested in Matt Ryan as you, but Aaron Rodgers, Jameis Winston sound pretty good as long as we don't hear rumblings about a limited workload for them.
Yeah, I'd kind of preferred if this game was in Atlanta, but I do think there is the opportunity for a lot of fantasy goodness. I think Winston's my favorite of the three you mentioned. Just Tampa Bay's quarterback one ranks behind only Patrick Mahomes in fantasy points per game. Winston's coming off of two tough matchups to get a top three matchup this week.
Are you concerned? All right, this is Wednesday. I forgot who they benched, or they healthy scratched Ryan Fitzpatrick last week for who's the third? It was like Ryan Griffin or something, not the tight end, but like Ryan. A different quarterback. Are you concerned at all? I think that was a deliberate move, right? They know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. Are you concerned maybe they get him a couple of reps just to kind of see what it is? This is going to be like a Saturday, Sunday call when we have a lot more news, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's right. Not too worried about it at the moment.
Yeah. Tyler, what else you got for me at quarterback if we're not playing some of those guys? It looks like you like, Nick Foles. Cash led me to all the glory last week. Cash games absolutely crushed for me on DraftKings last week, led by Nick Foles. They hiked him up. It's not a free play anymore. He's 5,900. But the Eagles are another team. They're playing to win. It's a gimme matchup here against Washington. I know Washington would like to foil them, so I don't expect Washington to roll over here. But let's be honest, I think Washington rolled over a long time ago here. What's the like with Nick Foles?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's much analysis to be had here. It's Nick Foles. The Eagles need him in playoff form. He's been doing that ever since he's been suited up. I think he will again this week, and he'll dominate. I love stacking him and Ertz again this week.
A couple other, you got Josh Allen. Would you, just to get more reps for him, you don't think there's any possibility the Bills do anything to his workload this week, correct?
Right. I think they continue to try to evaluate what they have in Allen, trying to throw different plays at him and see what they get as much film as they can heading into the offseason. The Dolphins have been pretty bad against running QBs as well. They allowed Allen to run for 135 yards when they last played each other, 231 passing yards and two passing touchdowns. The Dolphins pass rush has converted a league low 10% of pressures into sacks. So they're getting there, but they're not converting those into sacks, which is allowing a guy like Allen to run out and pick up additional yardage on the ground. That's why I really like him this week.
Yes. Scott, you got a couple other guys here noted. One has to win. Well, they don't have to win, but the Patriots probably want to win. Then they would get the first round bye. They're at home against the Jets. Pretty easy matchup for Tom. The only problem is dude just hasn't really been playing too well this year, Scott. So I don't think Tom Brady's worth $6,000 on DraftKings. What's your, you know, try to sell me on Tom Brady if you have a strong take on him.
Yeah, it's a much must-win situation. New York Jets are a top quarterback matchup, although that, of course, is heavily skewed by last week's game. He's just cheap. And in play, Sam Darnold, a guy who, you know, I've you know, trashed for most of the year, but he does look a lot better in recent weeks. Mm-hmm. Although my favorite cheap option quarterback is Teddy Bridgewater, who's a player I've liked for a long time. You know, I think he got dealt a raw deal. You know, if he never got hurt, he'd probably still be a starter in this league. If you look at his metrics, and especially if you adjust for the receiver talent he had, and even more so the offensive line play he was saddled with, he was well above average. And, you know, even without a Michael Thomas, you know, some of the key starters, I'm excited for his prospects this week at a low salary. Maybe not a top option, but, or the top option, but he's definitely someone I'm considering at the moment.
Yeah. The Saints, they're definitely going to rest their starters. I don't know if the starters will get completely rested. How many drives, if I give you one Drew Brees drive, is that enough to play Teddy Bridgewater?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
If I give you two Drew Brees drives, is that enough for you to play Teddy Bridgewater?
I don't know. All I heard so far is that Teddy Bridgewater is playing.
Drew Brees Brees came out today and said Teddy Bridgewater is going to play. We just don't know the exact amount of how much he's going to play. That was actually from Drew Brees today.
All right. Then he's a little too risky at the moment, but make sure you keep an eye on news. See if it's only a one or two drive thing with the Saints.
Yeah, we're a little in the dark. We don't have all the news. We record this on Wednesday, and it's going to be the talk for a lot of the positions out here. Tyler, you got anybody else you want to talk to about quarterback? And let me throw a couple other names at you and see what sticks here. Can I interest you in a Philip Rivers, right? The Chargers, they, you know, it would help if they won. Can I interest you in a Deshaun Watson? The Texans got a win. Dual threat quarterbacks always seem to work pretty well in DFS. Baker Mayfield, I know it's Baltimore. I know defenses matter, but you know he wants to stick it to his new interdivision rivals. He would love to hand Baltimore a loss here in his final game to kind of cap off his season. On the other side, Lamar Jackson, interesting as well. Hasn't really flashed the upside that we wanted yet, but I still, you know, it's very clear we haven't seen his ceiling in a game yet. I don't know. I think there's a lot of pretty viable plays this week.
Yeah, we have almost the entire league at our disposal this week, except for the Sunday night game. Think there's any way we could go. I like the idea of Deshaun Watson not afraid at all of this Jaguars defense. And the Texans, they could be playing up for the number two seed, I believe.
I think they're up for the three.
The three, okay.
Let me see here. I'll double check. I got a handy little chart here in front of me. So the Texans, they could get up to two.
Yeah,
two. They got to win. The Patriots lose. And I think the most likely situation is they get a win and they'll get the home playoff bye in round three.
Yeah, and they're one of the rare 1 o'clock games this week. So we don't need to try to wait around to see what the outcome is for the other games before we make any decisions there. I love the idea of playing him and DeAndre Hopkins, who's been invincible basically against this Jaguar secondary. He's done a great job every time they played against each other.
All right, that's going to wrap it up at quarterback. Scott, let's wrap up your little segment here on your actual opportunity article here. We've got one more week to really put the regular season stuff to use. First, are you continuing this into the playoffs at all for DFS? We always want to know what's going on in DFS. And then if not, let's try to go out with a bang here and get some pretty good plays for the people.
I think my content schedule for the postseason is really just the bulk of my work going into one massive article. It's the article you'll see me put out for Roto Grinders on Saturday. That's going to be discontinued for the postseason, but also or Friday, and then also put it out on PFF on Saturday. One of my followers, Neil Ragland, just keeps tweeting me out. Great content this week. I won another $100,000. This freaking guy is going crazy. Yeah, exactly. Nice, the winning answers are all in this article. You just got to be good with the combination. This week's article, talk about a lot of guys, a few Seahawks. There's some concerns with how much motivation they might have. Talk about Jamal Williams, who's seeing ridiculous volume without Aaron Jones, and that was the case last year as well. Well, Jeff Wilson Jr. is back in play. Elijah McGuire's crushing. I'm a little nervous about Derrick Henry, more so than I think most people. Kenny Galladay is a guy I'm into. Deshaun Hamilton, C.J. Anderson, Gerald Everett. That's about it for right now. We can talk about. I'm gonna inject this stat into some of the analysis that's gonna be coming a little bit.
All right, so let's go to running back. Scott, I'll stay with you. If we're spending up, I'm looking at a couple of players. First, let's talk about guys I think are in question this week. So I look at Christian McCaffrey. Really no need for Carolina to stretch Darius Sanders at all here. They've got like their 18th string running back. Seems like they're going to be mailing it in, as well as New Orleans in this game. It's going to be a battle of the backups. There might be some value in this as we get later in the week and we get a grip on who's actually going to be playing. But for now, no Christian McCaffrey for me. Same with kind of Ezekiel Elliott right now. I know Jerry Jones, right? He's out there. They're going to play. They have nothing to play for. This is scary to me. What's your take on Ezekiel Elliott?
I don't know. It just, yeah, you know,
we don't know yet for sure.
I think Jerry Jones is full of it.
No way.
known liar, but they're also crazy and the illogical. So you know he's in play. Maybe he's just a super contrarian tournament option. But
I could easily see the starters for Dallas playing a quarter. And then they come in with, or the backup. So they just sit the whole team. There's literally no reason for Dallas to play.
Yeah, that's what he did last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was. But I don't know. It's also the Giants. So yeah, it's hard to try and put logic into an illogical. Owner.
All right. So you mentioned the Giants. Let's talk Saquon Barkley here too, Scott, right? Because we got Saquon, you know, he's going for his offensive MVP. The Giants don't want to be
rookie of the year.
Yeah, they don't want to be proved wrong that it was the wrong draft pick, right? It's very clear. I don't know if he was the wrong draft pick, but he wasn't the wrong draft pick is kind of what I'm getting at. Like he's going to be a very good NFL player, barring injury for what seems like a very long time. They're going up against the Cowboys. They're at home to close out the season. Can we trust Saquon? As far as I can tell right now, no restrictions on him as of Wednesday night.
Yeah, I don't know about that full narrative, and I think the matchup is kind of tough. But it's Saquon Barkley, he's just crushed all year. Giants, especially if Dallas isn't taking their foot off their gas, it should be plenty of negative game script, and that's where Saquon's really thrived. Although I guess on DraftKings, I think the best bell cow value right now is James Conner, who I prefer over Barkley if he plays. So long as he's not seriously dinged up.
It looks like I didn't see this till just now, but the thing on DraftKings, James Conner practiced fully today. Awesome. Seems like he's going to be back this week.
Yeah, it's just a dream matchup. Cincinnati is giving up the most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. Steelers going to do everything they can to win. Conner's just a beast when he's on the field with a massive snap share.
Do you see them doing it? They've always kind of just gone to one backup. It's not like Jalen Samuels was horrible. Do you see a timeshare, or is this strictly James Conner's backfield?
No, it's been like, what, 5 years? Yeah. Mike Tomlin prefers a bell cow approach. So
that's kind of what I would expect as well. Tyler, what are you doing up here? towards the top at running backs. Do you share the same concerns me and Scott do on some of the high priced guys? And what else are you doing? We've got Connor, we've got Barkley. Those are basically all the high priced guys. There's Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley's in there too, but I don't know. I think that's a little bit of a stretch to expect Gurley to have a huge game here. Coming off injury, they'd be smart to rest him. What's your thoughts going on here?
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you guys. It's Wednesday when we're doing this analysis, so it could change by the time Sunday rolls around. But at this point, Saquon Barkley looks like the guy that you want to pay up for. He needs one more 100-yard rushing game to equal Eric Dickerson's 13-game mark. He needs 114 yards to surpass 2,000 yards from scrimmage and become just the third rookie to do that. I think they're definitely going to try to get him both those records this week. He's the guy I want to pay up for. And then there's a ton of like mid-range value if we go down a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah, let's start talking about it.
Okay, Damian Williams, Jamal Williams. I like both these Williams brothers this week. We'll start with the Chiefs.
What about Damian? Because Kareem Hunt looks like he's going to be back this week.
Kareem Hunt.
Or not Kareem Hunt.
Spencer Ware.
Spencer Ware, yeah, that's what I meant to say. Kareem Hunt is not going to be back this week, guys.
I did not see Spencer Ware news.
He practiced fully today.
Okay, that is a huge ding to Damian Williams because Damian was seeing a ton of work rushing and receiving.
Do you think? I don't know if they cheat. I think Spencer Ware might be left in the dust here.
He could be. I've always been a big fan of Spencer Ware, so I'm kind of a little biased here. But, I mean, Damian Williams has done a fantastic job filling in. And the thing is, this is a great matchup here against Oakland. We could easily see them get out to an early lead and then just hammer away with the running back in the whole second half.
Yeah. If Damian Williams plays, what about the law firm of Williams and Williams? Does that sound good to you, Tyler?
Yeah. I mean, Jamal Williams just balled out last week, played on 85 of 90 snaps. That's crazy. A snap heavy overtime game, but he touched the ball 21 times, including 9 targets, which is huge. The Packers are going to focus on chasing that record for Davante Adams. But if Snacks Harrison misses again this week, he was a DNP on practice Wednesday. I think it sets up for another good week here for Jamal Williams.
Yeah, I definitely like both of those guys. Scott, do you agree with the two Williams? We will have to wait on some Spencer Ware news. And if you do like them, let me know. If not, I don't know. I think there are some pretty viable names. You got Elijah McGuire in here. You could see probably not on Nick Chubb, Joe Mixon too much. I know you talked a little bit about Chris Carson. This comes down to probably a little bit later in the week. This is against Seattle. If we get word that Seattle's going all out to win, I think if they win, they get the 5 seed. If they lose, I think they drop to the 6 seed. So if you drop to the 6 seed, I think you're going to be going to Chicago. And if you're the 5th seed, you're going to be playing Dallas. I think I'd much rather play Dallas in this situation. So maybe Seattle does kind of give it a go for their stars in this game.
I think Dallas and New Orleans, you know, definitely don't play your starters. But otherwise, for most teams, you know, these coaches don't like to sit their guys at all, you know, rust or whatever the reason is. And I do think Seattle's going to, you know, play their hardest and not bench anyone. And especially if that's the case, Carson is like a smash value. Over the last 3 weeks, he ranked 6th in both expected and actual fantasy points per game. 86% of that is coming on the ground. Cardinals are the most exploitable defense on the ground. They're giving up the most rushing fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. And then the other sort of mid-tier values, love Jamal Williams. Yep. You read the actual opportunity article, Elijah McGuire too, who's seeing low end RB1 volume and production, has a great matchup this week. Damian Williams too. I mean, even last time Spencer Ware played, he finished as an RB1. And then after that, I really didn't spend too much time. It's just like
I'm ready. I'm going to go deep here with Tyler. You ready, Tyler?
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's have some fun here at running back. All right, so Jeff Wilson has entered our lives. Matt Breida gets into the game. No surprise, Matt Breida leaves the game. Jeff Wilson's going to be in for this whole game. Now, the Rams are going to be playing their hearts out to win this game. So it's a little bit of a tough game, but he's going to get the full workload. He's 4,400. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, Niners are 10-point dogs. We've already seen Wilson excel in a game where they trailed heavily. He caught 8 of 9 targets for 73 yards against the game against Seattle several weeks back. Guy can do it all. I think he's going to be a great fill-in for Breida.
All right. Okay. Are you sitting down, Tyler?
I am. Let's all go.
Ryan Hill.
Ay, yikes.
All right. Tevin Coleman. I don't think the dude's going to play this week. Brian Hill, 115 yards last week. Now, it was on 8 rushes. He busted one pretty long play. It's against Tampa Bay. Anyone want to get on Brian Hill?
No, I mean, this is a guy I've faded for a very long time. I know he came out of Wyoming as a big, like, bruising back. The only way he hits 100 yards is if he gets a broken play like he did last week.
Scott, you have any interest there?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in play. I like Jeff Wilson a lot. And we see this time and time again in week 17, backups stepping up, getting a bell cow workload, finishing as high-end running backs. I think 2 years ago, three backups who had under like 60 carries for the whole season finished as top five running backs. Talk about that in the actual opportunity article. But yeah, this is a week where there's going to be a lot of value, and typically that value is at the running back position.
All right. I got one more if you're ready to hold your nose.
You are crazy, Scott, if you want to play Brian Hill.
I don't
know. He's in play.
Yeah, I think Brian Hill's in play. And hold your nose for this one. Are you ready? I just want to get my snap counts correct. He played 85% of the off. Yeah, Mr. Kenyon Drake here. What do you think about this?
That was definitely a game script thing. And I think he only had like 8 carries and 4 targets anyway, or something super low like that.
3,700 on DK.
Yeah, it's against Buffalo. I'm not trusting it.
Royce Freeman as well is going to be the chalk of the, week. Tyler, what's
why not Devontae Booker though?
Yeah. So like Freeman, I think it was something he has 1, 2, 3. Let's see here. 4, 8, 10 targets all season. You need targets on DraftKings, but he's 3,500. Going to be pretty popular, Tyler. You got a take on that?
No, what's the scoop with Philip Lindsay? Is he there? Oh, yeah, he's
done for like 5 months.
Oh, okay. I missed that Rangers game. Okay, then, yeah, I guess Royce is definitely in play. I mean, he was a highly drafted pick. Why not evaluate what they got out of him?
Scott, what do you got on Royce this week? He's clear. Like, I think the clear build's going to be something like Connor, one of the Williamses, and let's say Spencer Ware comes back, it's going to be Jamal Williams, and then everybody's going to use Royce Freeman. This is the clear three backs everybody's going to be on this week.
Yeah, he was, you know, very in play for me, but then, you know, he became chalk, and I don't know how I feel about that. You beat the Chargers, or the Chargers running back matchup is much better for receiving running backs. They're giving up the 7th most receiving fantasy points per game to opposing running backs, but rank like top 12 on the ground. And like you said, you know, he doesn't see that receiving volume. I think they want to go with a committee again. I think Devontae Booker is going to be getting a lot of that volume. It's going to be a negative game script that again sets up better for Devontae Booker.
We've got a 30.
I don't like him as chalk.
We've got 35% on Freeman, 5% on Booker. Does Booker have a 1 in 7 chance of outproducing Royce Freeman in fantasy points this week?
Yeah, I think far better than that. Yeah.
Yes. So this, if you're looking
crazy, 35%, really?
Yeah, everyone's gonna be playing Royce Freeman. He's 3,700 or 3,500, something like that on DraftKings. But yeah, if you're looking from it from a, this is what I like to do in DFS when you're comparing guys' ownerships. Does that guy? This would be a 7-to-1 shot. You know, is Freeman going to outproduce Booker 6 out of 7 times on this slate? And that answer is clearly no. So if you're looking to be a little bit frisky in tournaments this week, I kind of agree with Scott. Devontae Booker, much better receiving option. And those PPR points add up pretty quick when you're catching Case Keenum dump offs, for sure. Anyone else have any hot takes at running back?
I'm just blown away by this Royce Freeman. I did not think he'd be the chalk.
Well, you're a cheap running back. I don't even know if you need him that much, but it allows you to get Antonio Brown and Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams on your team to kind of do things like that, which, as a segue, we're going to go to wide receivers. Tyler, I'll start with you on this one. I'm going to list off some prices. Antonio Brown's 8,700. Julio, he's a little questionable right now, 8,500. Michael Thomas isn't playing. So you got Tyreek Hill, 8,400, a little bit of a boom bust option. And below that, we've got DeAndre Hopkins against Jacksonville, or Davante Adams against what's left of the Detroit defense at just 8,000. I think I'd want Antonio Brown. It's very clear he's going to be a focal point of this offense. How long they need him for is questionable, if you ask me. Devontae Adams has a lot of different records that I think they're probably going to be shooting for this week. A couple narratives as well with DeAndre Hopkins. But what's your preference here at the top?
Mine, strictly from a tournament sense, would be Tyreek Hill, just because I think he'd be the lowest owned of the bunch. Arguably has the highest ceiling at any given week. Anytime we can get him on a very low owned percentage, I think it's worth pursuing. Anyone that's like box score scouting saw that a few weeks ago he went for one catch for 13 yards against the Raiders on six targets.
Three of his last 4 weeks for his price have been pretty duds, if you ask me.
Yeah, so you could argue he's due. That's I don't like to argue that. I think it's a poor argument. But the Raiders have our third lowest coverage grade. Reigns one for us to exploit. The other guys I love are Antonio Brown and Devontae Adams. I think they're both going to draw a lot more ownership and be Adams could be the chalkiest pay-up wide receiver, considering how highly publicized these records are.
Yeah, the narrative. So today, as it sits right now, we've got Antonio Brown clearly above all these guys at 22.5%. Again, this revolves around Royce Freeman. Everybody's using him. We have some money at wide receiver. And Devontae Adams is 10%. I'm going to suggest by the time the week comes to an end, Devontae Adams is probably going to be pushing 15 to 20% ownership, because these narratives, we don't start them, but we're going to talk about them. They're going to talk about them on the next show. They're going to talk about them on the next five shows. The other 8,000 football podcasts are going to talk about them, and everybody's going to end up playing Devontae Adams.
Yep. I totally agree. It's just going to build steam by the end of the week. We could see these two flip-flop, to be honest. Antonio Brown, though, I think he's another great play. Steelers need to win to get in the playoffs. These Bengals corners have been really soft for most of the year. I'm personally going to have a lot of Steelers stacks heading into this week.
Yeah, Scott, what are you doing up here at the top? Do you have a favorite play? I don't think you can – if you told me you play Antonio Brown, I don't think that's a problem. You tell me you play Juju or Tyreek Hill or DeAndre Hopkins or Devontae Adams – I really don't have fault with any of them. Do you have a favorite? Do you have one of those that you're least likely to play? It's really hard to separate them all.
Yeah, I do like Adams. He's going to draw Darius Slay in shadow coverage. Luckily, you know, he's pretty much transcended every shadow matchup all year. And last week was the dream matchup where Rodgers should have just thrown him the ball 18 times. And he didn't until, you know, like the last overtime. Made very little sense. But anyway, he's the wide receiver one in fantasy this year. He's priced as the wide receiver seven. And of course there's the narrative everyone's going to talk about. Also like Keenan Allen, depending on how healthy he is up against a Chris Harris-less Denver Broncos defense. And then maybe down, I guess, a pricing tier, there's three wide receivers I really like, or four maybe. Julian Edelman in the ideal matchup. It doesn't get better than slot wide receiver versus the Jets. He's also been awesome all year. He's 13th in fantasy points per game since returning from suspension. And he's not priced like it. Robert Woods has been awesome since Cooper Kupp went out, volume and production. Even though they went two tight end sets quite a bit last week, he still ran out of the slot about 60% of the time. He gets a top four slot matchup. Doug Baldwin, it looks like he's back by PFF grades, by my actual opportunity numbers, by production. He also gets a top five slot matchup. Kenny Galladay, another guy I talk about in my actual opportunity article. He's coming off of two really tough matchups, gets a much softer matchup this week. And it's looking like, you know, Matthew Stafford back when Calvin Johnson was in his prime. He just like only looked at him. It didn't matter if he was triple teamed and not open. Nothing.
The Lions are just a mess. It's like, it's clear Matt Patricia, I don't think, you know, there are a couple articles today on him on, you know, just being late to team meetings. I don't know if he's going to be a great head coach. They're probably going to get a new offensive coordinator. There's nothing going there. They're still handing the ball off to LeGarrette Blount a bunch every game. He's doing nothing. This offense is dead, but I mean, if Kenny Galladay is going to get 15 targets in this game, that sounds pretty good to me, Scott.
Right.
Yeah. What are we doing on the cheap end? And I don't know, do we need a lot of these cheap guys? Alshon Jeffery's still cheap. I mean, he didn't dud, but he didn't really come through like we wanted last week. For those of us who were using him, you've got Robert Arryards Foster, who's going to have a good matchup with Miami's top corner down, and Josh Allen likely chucking to close out the season here for the Bills to see what they have. And of course, you know, it's Wednesday right now. By the time Sunday rolls around, there's going to be five wide receivers that we didn't even know were on rosters that are probably going to be viable DFS plays come Sunday. So Tyler, what else you got for me on the low to cheap end?
Yeah, I think those guys are great plays as well. Looking at like the mid region, Robbie Anderson's a guy I want to go back to once again. He's been on fire, seen a ton of targets from Sam Darnold. The two are clicking, and they're going to be throwing against the Patriots. Calvin Ridley could see a lot of run here against Tampa Bay. Curious to see how that plays out with Julio and his status throughout the week. But there's some punts that are very viable this week. Starting down at Kendrick Bourne. The 49ers have already ruled out
nobody.
Yeah, they don't have anybody. They've already ruled out Dante Pettis. Marquise Goodwin is legit questionable at this time. Bourne could see a surplus of snaps and targets. Caught 4 of 5 last week for 73 yards. The Rams are going to be playing pretty hard this week, and I think we see Shanahan give them a good matchup on the other side. Another cheap play I'm super into is Jake Kumerow.
Oh, that was the name I was going to toss out here. You stole it from me.
He's a preseason hero. Everyone that plays preseason DFS loved him. Unfortunately, he was put on IR on like week one, but he played last week over 60% of the snaps, caught a touchdown, catching 3 of 3 targets. Randall Cobb and ESB are both on the injury report due to concussions. You could do far worse at a 3K punt.
We've got Traquan Smith projected at reasonable ownership right now, Scott. You know, they're not going to play Ted Ginn. They're not going to play Michael Thomas. They still need some wide receivers out there. If Traquan is all of a sudden the number one option, is this interesting for you?
Yeah, it is interesting. That's a good call. I didn't really think about it. I do think Kumerow is interesting, as well as Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Deshaun Hamilton's another really strong value this week.
And there'll be guys that, you know, we don't even know are going to get catches this week that probably catch 5 or 6 balls. We'll know more of those guys later in the week. So, you know, stay tuned to the RotoGrinders channel, read more on PFF. But as we get more news this week, we'll be able to give you a more accurate description of the, the correct plays. It's just we're a little bit in the dark here on teams' plans come Wednesday night. We done at wide receiver, guys? Sounds like a yes to me. Let's go to tight end. All right, this is pretty easy. We've got Zach Ertz on the main slate. We've got Travis Kelce on the main slate. We have the ability to use them if we want to in any format, because there's just going to be an enormous amount of value. You got to play one. Gun to your head. Tyler, I'm going to ask you first. Is it Travis Kelce or is it Zach Ertz?
Oh, man, that's tough. Because the one I want to play is Kittle the most. So you put me in a bind here. Wow. I'm gonna go with Zach Ertz because I think they could pull the Chiefs early. The Eagles will need to be playing this full game. And Ertz dominated last week, 12 catches on 16 targets. The matchup with Washington is one where we didn't really need to worry about it all as far as like a matchup. Ertz caught 9 of 10 targets last time he played them.
Scott, I'm going to ask you that question in a second. I'm going to let Tyler talk about Kittle here first, though, because he's chomping at the bit. So,
yeah, Kittle's the guy I want to play everywhere this week. He needs 4 receptions to break the 49ers team record of 82 catches in a season. He's 99 yards away from Gronk's record of most receiving yards in a season. The 49ers are decimated at wide receiver. I could see them going heavily to Kittle over and over again against the Rams.
Yeah, that looks like a pretty good play. I don't see how. Why would you mess around with – I know Chris Herndon had a good game, and I know CJ Uzoma caught a touchdown, but why would you mess around with them this week? So, Scott, what are we doing with that trio at top today?
Yeah, I'm not really too high on Kittle this week. I think it's mostly between Kelce and Ertz, and I think Kelce is the right answer. Maybe not right answer, but is the one I'm – gravitating towards.
He's $500 more. I haven't had time over Christmas. Normally I make like a shell team. I haven't had time to do that yet, so I don't know if I need that 500, but let's say I needed that 500. Is Ertz a good substitute?
Yeah, man, they're both great. Oakland's a top 3 tight end matchup, which is why I lean Kelce. He's also been more productive, etc. But Ertz is in a great spot too. Foles loves him in terms of volume, and Alshon Jeffrey's gonna Josh Norman, and really Nick Foles' targets have been heavily concentrated between Ertz and Alshon. I also like Jared Cook. Kansas City's been the top matchup for tight ends, top streaming matchup for tight ends. And, you know, he crushed last time he faced them, which was just a few weeks ago. And I think if you do want to punt, I think Gerald Everett's interesting. He's the only other name of those three tight ends, Kelce, Ertz, Kittle, has seen at least six targets in each of the last 3 weeks. He played on 75% of the snaps. The teams opted to go with more of a two tight end approach. I do think it's between Kelce and Ertz and maybe Cook for me, but he's a name to consider.
You know, I need to check on Cook. You should probably do this too. When he got a snaps last week, because the Raiders won last week, which one is rare. And two, he was only on the field for 34 of the 62 snaps. And I know they were doing this in the middle of the season. They were messing with the snap counts because I think they wanted to lose. And I don't know if they took Jared Cook out because they were trying to lose the game. But if I don't know if you can pull this that's up quick.
Yeah,
tell me when he got his snaps or if that's something you can look into, because that's going to be – if they're purposefully limiting his snaps early in the game, that's like a red flag for me on something like that. So that's something – or maybe they were just running so much they didn't want him out there blocking. That's also interesting to me. So I just want to see where those Jared Cook snaps are. I don't have that in front of me.
I guess it's a running thing. I know Doug Martin did have a big yep. –
flashback.
Yeah, right. But I will take a look at it. Thank you.
Evan Ingram, I like. Tyler, do you know how many targets Rob Gronkowski got last week? Don't look.
Six.
Three.
Oh, like, that's right. Yeah, I had him.
What is going on with this dude?
He's a wooden robot out there. Can't move at all.
Can you project a Kyle Rudolph Hail Mary touchdown this week, Tyler?
Yeah, to Vance McDonald.
All right, yeah, so not to Kyle Rudolph. What do you make of Kyle Rudolph? I mean, he still had – he had 9 targets, 9 receptions, so it's not like he was horrible outside of that Hail Mary touchdown, which accounted for some fantasy points, but certainly not all 36. It is at home against Chicago, probably the toughest defense in the NFL. That's a pretty easy pass for me this week. If you were going to go cheap, right, I think the ownership we have on three guys here. We have CJ Uzoma, who caught the touchdown last week. Looks like the only viable target, I think, in Cincinnati left. John Ross gets targeted. He catches one, of course, it's the touchdown, because that's what John Ross does. He catches touchdowns now, but he doesn't catch anything other than touchdowns. Herndon had the big week last week and has had some pretty consistent production. He looks to be part of, you know, an actual part of the passing game moving forward. And then we've got Ian Thomas with like a fourth or fifth string quarterback throwing him the ball this week. So out of all three of those options, Tyler, can you pick me a winner?
Yeah, the winner would be Herndon for me. I mean, we've seen the chemistry between him and Darnold already. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that they're going to build on moving forward. He looks like a core piece here to stay for the Jets.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Scott, do you have any thoughts on kind of the cheap tight end?
Yeah, Herndon and Everett. That's about it.
All right, guys. I think anyone else at tight end, or are we good? Are we good for 2018?
Yeah, I'm paying up with all this running back value. I think you can pay up at tight end this week.
Yeah, and we don't even know too. Like, we're gonna get so much other value that it's gonna be pretty easy to kind of fit in a Kelce or Ertz or a Kittle if you want to. So you know, I want to thank all you guys that have watched, downloaded, listened to the Pro Football Focus show this year. PFF have some great tools. We've showcased them for you. They're always improving. Next year, you'll fire up Pro Football Focus. One, it looks different almost every week, and they'll add some new tools for you last year. So, Tyler, let's wrap this up here. It's been a fun show. We kept the same crew together for 2 years. I like that. Hopefully you guys are back next year. I know Scott will probably, you know, they'll lock him in a dungeon, and they won't even let him on the show for an hour. I'm hoping they let him in here, but it's been fun, Tyler. What are your thoughts on this year for the show and football in general?
Yeah, it's been a great show. It definitely helps me as far as my personal research, getting a jump start on it early in the week. It's a lot easier to have a good base at the beginning of the week and then alter as we get news moving forward. That's why I think these shows in the beginning of the week are pretty important. This show has been great. It's been fun chatting with you guys, learning your processes as well, seeing what kind of plays you guys are on. Always amazed at how much overlap we have. We have a lot of the same processes, which I think has led to some profitable weeks for all of us.
Yeah, and Scott, you probably don't want to do the show, right? Because you're already slaved away, fed through the little keyhole in the door, you know, when you're allowed to. But I know you love doing the show. It helps you kind of get all your thought processes, not down on paper, but you actually get to talk through it a little bit here. It's been fun doing the show with you two guys this year.
Right, right. Gonna miss it.
We're gonna end on this one. All right, guys, so it's been a fun 2018. I'm sure PFF will be back next year, and hopefully Tyler and Scott are the ones down here. So enjoy. Hopefully everybody had a Merry Christmas. Enjoy your new year. Don't do anything stupid out there on the roads. Be safe, and have a good week 17 of DFS. So for Tyler and Scott, I'm Britt. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we out ya.